And hello, everyone. You are listening to Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis, and today my guest is Alan Steinfeld, host of the New Realities television program, and we're going to be engaging in part two of the discussion on life beyond Earth, extraterrestrials, star beings, alien presence on the planet, disclosure, spiritual insight, and multidimensional existence. We're going to be talking about an upcoming event, May 19th to 22nd in Joshua Tree, California, called Contact in the Desert. And my guest, Alan Steinfeld, has traveled the globe looking for the most important contribution to the field of consciousness and is the host and producer, as I mentioned, of the New Realities TV show. It airs on Time Warner and I believe many, many other stations across the country. But he's here in New York City. He produced over 2,000 interview programs with the leading edge thinkers, scientists, artists, paradigm shifters, and religious leaders from around the world. His website is newrealities.com. So I want to say hello and welcome, Alan Steinfeld.
Thank you, Catherine. It's always nice to be with you because you have such an open mind. You know, you're so willing to explore.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And truthfully, I think that is my life, this exploration into spirit and the extra-dimensional reality of our existence, which up until this era, I would say, many people were not really very much aware of. And now is a time when we're truly experiencing this expanded realm that we live in. So I am really very grateful to be able to speak with you today. So let's start out.
I just want to add to that, you know, up until only recently people weren't aware of. Of course, if you go to the indigenous cultures, they're very aware of the star beings and other beings from other dimensions because there was never a break in their psyche and that disconnected them from another awareness. So if you go back further enough, we know this is a traditional point of view, actually.
You're so correct, and I do stand corrected because I do know that to be true. And it really plays into how people in the more wider public and the mainstream are coming to be educated about this. It's through that connection to indigenous cultures, wisdom, and prophecy.
Right, exactly. And through, I think, a whole brain approach to living, you know, when we go to school, like starting at 5 years old, only our left brain, our logical, rational mind is trained to think, and this other intuitive knowing part of us is sort of underdeveloped or ignored and not even acknowledged as something to be valued. But it's half our brain, you know, half of who we are. And, you know, I think there's a Native American saying, a bird can cannot fly with only one wing. We need, and it's the feminine part, it's that integration of the male-female, rational, non-rational awareness that we now need to come to as human beings if we're going to, you know, continue to evolve.
That is the crux of it, isn't it? That we are faced, and really it's a joyful expression and explosion of consciousness to get to this point of recognizing that the larger part of our reality is not immediately visible. And we can only come into contact with that reality by expanding our inner capabilities and awareness. So I believe that this is the very thing that everyone has been speaking about when they talk about ascension or the evolution of humanity. So this is really the step, the next step that we are engaged in right now.
Exactly, and that's why I love talking about UFOs, because it challenges what we think our worldview is. You know, we can talk about indigenous people and that indigenous wisdom, but most people are not connected to that. But everyone has heard of UFOs and the fact that they may or may not exist, but the fact that it's being considered, well, I'll read you what Terrence McKenna says. He says, the flying saucer represents perhaps the ultimate challenge to science. In other words, the flying saucer is definitely an agent of cultural change. Carl Jung said that UFOs are archetypal images shared by the collective unconscious. The idea of meeting the ultimate other and now across all boundaries of religious and ethnic barriers. So, but the problem is with both McKenna and Jung is that they only saw these things as symbols of an unconscious projection. I mean, it was particularly Jung who said that the UFO is coming into our awareness because it's our it's the mystery being projected onto the world. Like we no longer have the mysteries we've had. So like the only mystery that can remain is this thing, this unidentified thing that the psyche projects. And I think that was a mistake. I think it's actually our real things. We may project the mystery onto this phenomena, but it is in itself something that exists. Do you know what I mean?
I certainly do, and I agree 100%. And in our last program, we had J.J. Hertog kind of illustrating historically the presence and the evidence of presence. But the truth is, there's a great deal of evidence right now. And certainly there's a lot of anecdotal evidence. There are photographs and pictures. And I believe that we can go very far by taking into account people's actual experiences and understanding that these are real. Because the truth is, in my estimation, most people on the planet right now do believe that there is extraterrestrial life or life beyond that which we know it. And also, a significant number of people have witnessed or experienced either the ships or contact with extraterrestrial life. Would you say so?
Oh, yeah. No, this is, I think, really the most important point, that we're learning that reality is not a objective experience. Like quantum physics tells us this, that reality is something subjective. It's something that each of us experiences. So no one can tell you haven't seen what you've seen. They may think you've been mistaken, but ultimately, you know, your experience, and we're learning to value our experience as truth, as our truth. So this whole idea of someone telling us something, whether it be the media or religion or even your education, that something isn't true, our own experience and should be validated. It's the reason that I think art is so important in these times, creativity, because it's based on one's own experience of reality. But besides that, just the evidence that besides people's personal experience, we'll get into that. I just also want to say there's some empirical evidence, like, and I do a lot of research. Even if you go to the FBI website, there's something called the Guy Huddle Memo. That's Guy, G-U-Y-H-O-T-T-E-L Memo. And he reports that, and I'll read this, and then we'll get more into the subjective. He says, and this is right on the FBI website. The FBI website is called The Vault. It's called an investigation by the Air Force stated that so-called flying saucers have been recovered in New Mexico. They were described as being circular in shape with raised centers approximately 50 feet in diameter. Each one was occupied by three bodies of human shape but only 3 feet tall, dressed in metallic cloth of very fine texture. Each body was bandaged in a manner similar to the blackout suits used by speed flyers and pilots. According to, and then there's a blank, there's like a blackout, the FBI blacked this out, informant. The sources were found in New Mexico due to the fact that the government had very high-power radar set up in the air and believed that the radar interfered with the controlling mechanism. Anyway, who knows, but that's at least on record. And if you search a little deeper, anyone searching a little deeper on the Internet will see this as a phenomenon. Not only that, but worldwide sightings are up in the last few years. You can go to the National UFO Reporting Center and see the increase in sightings. MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, is reporting increased sightings. It was just a book review in the New York Times about UFO sightings. So anyway, that's empirical proof that something's happening. And now to go to the subjective idea that we are making contact, because I think the government is never really going to acknowledge it. I think this has to be a grassroots movement. We have to say that I've had this experience, and that, and we have to encourage other people to talk about their sightings, but also their inner intuitive, should we call them downloads? So you see, it's both. It's the internal and the external movement that we have to pursue. You know what I mean?
I do. I totally agree. And actually, there's been a lot of release of documentation of all of this history of encounters and research and investigations from the FBI, from the CIA, and from various countries around the globe. So there's a tremendous body of work that shows that governments have been dealing with this in secret for many, many years in our modern times. So that's important for people to understand. And also, from my perspective, when you look at quantum physics, and they tell you that reality exists when you look at it. So from my perspective, I can see how a person who has no belief or is doubting the possibility of extraterrestrial life, that if it were right in front of them, they might not see it. Like a person who's been hypnotized doesn't see what right. they've been hypnotized against. And in the same vein, those of us who have the capacity to see it and to explore the possibility are going to be more inclined to have those encounters or to have those witness those sightings or even to have visitations. So I believe that science itself supports this phenomena of one person getting it and another person not getting it. And it doesn't really reflect the truth. It only reflects the consciousness of the individuals.
You're right. It really does have to do with consciousness. And there's been instances where it was something seen in the sky. One person standing right next to the other could see it. The other person couldn't see the same thing because it wasn't in the possibility. I mean, people, that's why people often may see something and say it was just a star, it was just my imagination. But I think we're here to trust ourselves more, give ourselves more credit for what we do see, and whether whatever level of metaphysical awareness, if you people see orbs or even have experience of ghosts and things like that, I would say that's not your imagination. This is where psychology has done us a disservice, because it says, yes, the mind makes things up. And it does, of course. There are people who do fabricate things or hallucinate. But then there's the other part of us that truly can see these other dimensional awarenesses or have these experiences, and they're discounted. So we need to fine-tune our understanding of psychology and who we are as human beings and what we're capable of, because I think this is the most important area of our evolution. This going beyond what's been established as the psychological paradigm. I mean, not discounting it, of course. I mean, it holds many benefits, understanding the self and understanding the what is fabricated and what is not. I mean, Carl Sagan said there's two possibilities. Either these things exist, which he thought was unlikely, or people hallucinate. And he says, well, for sure we know people hallucinate. But he's not taking into account that these, whatever people have seen, can be a reality. It is a reality. And you know, not only that, the Air Force in the early, after the Roswell crash in 1947, and then some subsequent events like UFOs seen over the Capitol in 1952 that were in all the magazines. There's an article in Life magazine from 1952 that documents this. There was a conscious effort on the part of the Air Force to ridicule anyone believing in this sort of ideas and this sort of possibilities. And that formed a kind of a closure on government knowledge. The government had kept this knowledge to themselves. There's supposedly the crashes from Roswell, and the paper I just read have been at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and Area 51, reverse engineered a lot of the technology that has come forward. I mean, some of it was our own creative invention, and some of it, some people say, is from some of this reverse engineering found in these craft that have crashed here. So, I mean, the government will not admit this. This is what's called the movement for disclosure, the official disclosure. I'm actually part of an organization called the Disclosure Activists, which are trying to get the truth out there. There's a guy named Stephen Bassett who says this is a truth embargo, and we've been conditioned to think that we're all alone, that life is an accident in the universe, and just the fact that perhaps there are other life out there, it goes against this whole kind of existential programming that, you know, that we've been indoctrinated with, that, you know, this life itself is meaningless, basically. So this changes everything. This understanding.
I agree with you. And, you know, as far as psychology is concerned, I think part of the disconnect is that in the absence of any recognition that multiple realities do exist, a person who has some kind of sensitivity to that or has the extrasensory perception to be able to perceive it has no language to understand it, and so can easily become...
Oh, wait, can you say that again? Wait, just say that again, because I want to take a... Can you repeat that? Do you mind?
Yes, certainly. I was saying that a person who has perhaps sensitivity or extrasensory perception to be able to have perceived some of the multidimensionality of our existence would have no language to understand it. and could easily be labeled psychotic, schizophrenic, bipolar, just basically crazy because they're seeing something that is not acknowledged as a reality. And so that person can be steered into understanding that phenomena as insanity. But if you looked at the same phenomena in one of these cultural experiences within a tribal experience where they have a shaman and they have an understanding of the shadow world or the dream world, if a child presents itself with that kind of extra perception, then they would be steered into a situation where they would be able to be tutored and how to cultivate that and develop themselves to grow up to be shaman. And so because our Western culture doesn't have that, people who may be born with these abilities are trapped in hospitals, in mental institutions.
Yes. No, this is such an important thing you're saying right now. And this is the reason I call my program New Realities, because we need to develop these cultural awarenesses, these inner senses. This is the threshold. This is the transformation in worldviews and paradigms, whatever you want to call it, that we're at now, where we're developing an awareness so people can acknowledge this inner sensing. And that's why I think it's important to do programs like this, for people to be aware that there is a language, there is a way of referencing their experience within a larger context. Because you're right, you're absolutely right. If we can't put our experience or identify it in some kind of form, we either discard it or think we're crazy based on the official way of thinking. But if we can share this knowledge and understand that there's new ways of perceiving reality, that there's these inner senses that need to be activated, this is the movement of a different way of thinking and an evolution of the species itself. That's why I see this as such an important part of this topic.
I agree. And one of the things that I feel that many people don't take into consideration when they're thinking in terms of extraterrestrial beings is that I really see them as extra-dimensional beings. So if there is a society, say, for instance, on Venus, when we look at the planet, we are looking at it from the lens of our own biological existence. And we fail to recognize that, A, there could be a different form of biological existence with a different chemistry, and B, there can be a different vibration or dimensional existence on other planets. So that just like there are spectrums of light that we can't see and spectrums of sound that we can't hear, that there are spectrums of being that we don't have the tools in our biology to be able to perceive and communicate with. And I believe that's more the reason for the shifts, so that beings who are of this extra-dimensional reality have to create something that is perceivable to our biology. So we see these shifts. I don't believe that the extraterrestrial beings or the star beings are dependent on chips necessarily. And I also think there are beings at different vibrational levels. So there are beings like the Roswell incident, to me, looks a little bit like a being that has a dimensional existence very similar to our own third dimensional existence. But it's unlikely that a being that is a fifth or seventh density would be impacted by the radar of the military. In fact, there's, like you said, I believe in the last show, that there's evidence that star beings are interfering with nuclear weaponry and nuclear testing in order to prevent destruction to the planet. So I think that we're in a very active engagement with levels of civilization that are more advanced than us, as well as some civilizations that may not be much more advanced than us, if technologically so, not in a spiritual sense.
Yeah, no, this is, I think, the key issue here, and it shows the complexity of this whole topic. It's not as simple as, oh, yeah, there's ships here, there's things visiting us. That's just what they call the nuts and bolts aspect. But the fact that these beings are of different frequencies, of different vibrations, has both positive and negative elements. When we meet these beings, like some people have, there's something in their field. I think the ones they call the little grays, the ones that they claim have been abducting people, they're so different than us. Their thought field consciousness is so, in a way, distorted compared to ours that it's actually, on the negative side, can be very traumatizing to be in the field of those creatures. There's no way to stay conscious in the ways that we are normally aware. So people have a reaction. There's fear, and it's really not fear intended. It's just that they're so different. Their frequencies are so different than ours. There's a distortion in our awareness. And there are other beings, of course, a higher density that have evolved to, I would say, more of a loving oneness space that people have also had contact with, which people feel an upliftment and expansion in those presences. So, you know, every visiting civilization has their own frequency and impact on our psyche, and this is what makes this such a complex issue. And I think a complex issue for the government as well, who are holding back these secrets, because there's not a one way to deal with the multifaceted components of these visitors, let's say.
I agree, and I actually do have reason to suspect that the relationship between the governments and the sort of the dark projects and a lot of the funding that's going into the government that we never really see the outcome of are projects that are engaging in various extraterrestrial life for the purpose of developing technologies, maintaining control. And so I do believe that there is a dark side to this, but at the same time, I feel that the bright side of it is much stronger because it's in harmony with the truth and oneness of being. And from my perspective, this whole human evolution, however we might characterize it as ascension or whatever it is, the shift of the ages, we have moved into a different landscape that really enhances the positive interaction with star people, star beings, and really our celestial neighbors. So how do you put that together from your perspective?
Well, yeah, there is, yeah, because we're evolving as a species. Yes, of course, there's still wars and there's still lots of problems in the world. But I think, you know, despite the present U.S. government and whatever you want to make of that, there's a positive trend in this country. We're coming together as a planet. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I thought I lost you for a second. Anyway, mm-hmm. There's a positive trend in this country and the world because of things like the internet where we're coming together as a oneness. So I think, you know, as we have more compassion, as we have more openness and come into a coherency as a planet, then we are in the place to meet other like-minded, coherent civilizations. You know, we're diverse as a planetary civilization, but we're human and we have some basic you know, human expressions and feelings. And I think compassion and love is part of that. And this is what these higher beings are waiting for, our collective awakening of that to happen in order to meet us openly. That's like, is that, that's what you're asking, right?
I mean, yeah, I totally agree with your, with what you're saying, because should there be some kind of landing or interaction, I believe that there's too much on the planet that would turn that into conflict.
At this time,
and that's not acceptable. So for those of us who want this interaction to take place, we do have to be patient, because there needs to be a collective awareness. All the more reason to expand this conversation so that people can begin to realize that it is safe to have the conversation, and that, you know, it isn't immediately people are going to be criticized for it. I think that there's a genuine curiosity and desire to see this come to be. And I think that that's very widespread.
Right. I think, though, the problem is that no one's going to save us from ourselves. We can't expect, yeah, maybe they'll prevent nuclear war, hopefully, whoever these beings are. But we have to take care of our own garbage. You know, we have to do it. The star beings are not going to, they're not going to do it for us. We have to pull ourselves up and pull ourselves together. So I think there's many phases of this development. Yes, we have to acknowledge our own inner wisdom and connection. But, you know, just the basic thing is get over the idea that UFOs is a belief. Let me read you this quote about belief. This is from Margaret Mead in an interview in Red Book magazine. She says that people ask, do you believe in UFOs? She says, I think that's a silly question born of confusion. Belief has to do with matters of faith. This has nothing to do with matters of faith. This is knowledge that can be based on scientific inquiry. When we want to understand something strange, something previously unknown to anyone, we have to begin with an entirely different set of questions. What is it? How does it work? And are there recurrent regularities in its sighting, in its observation? So, yes, we this is not about, do you believe in UFOs? I think that's the first thing we have to establish in the conversation. This is not belief. Is there proof or is there not proof? Well, like I said before, if you just look a little bit on the internet, yeah, there's a lot of speculation, but there seems to be at least proof that the government is aware of this, that there are pictures and videos all over the internet, all over YouTube, of something unusual. I think this constitutes a proof of sorts. And so if we can just start there and say, okay, if there is something there, well, we can get into why don't we know about this? And that's where people get, I think, held up. If this was true, why don't we know about it? So because we don't know about it, it can't be true. It's that type of thinking that also gets in the way. And actually, I'll show you one example of that. When in 1904, when the Wright brothers flew their plane, Scientific America said if this was true, other people would know about it. And since it hasn't been reported, it can't be true. It's that kind of thinking that has gotten in the way of human evolution.
So true. And I would say the same thing for the discovery of microbes and bacteria. You know, we couldn't see it, so it didn't exist till we could see it. We're going to take a brief break for a musical piece. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about Contact in the Desert. And you can go to contactinthedesert.com. That's May 19th to 22nd in Joshua Tree, California. But stay tuned. We're going to listen to Jewel, Life Uncommon, and then we'll be right back.
Don't worry, Mother. It'll be all right. worry, sister. Say your prayers and sleep tight, and it'll be fine, lover of mine. It'll be just fine. And lend your voices only to sounds of freedom. No longer lend your strength to that which you wish to be free from. For your lies with love and bravery, and you shall lead a life. I've heard your anguish, I've heard your heart's cry out. We are tired, we are weary, but we aren't worn out. Set down your chains till only faith remains. Set down.
Okay, so now we are back, and this is Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis, and I'm speaking with Alan Steinfeld, host of the New Realities television program. And we are in the middle of this discussion on life beyond Earth, extraterrestrials, star beings, alien presence on the planet, disclosure, spiritual insight, and multidimensional existence. And so, Alan, I know that you're going to be presenting and you're part of this event coming up, Contact in the Desert. And I'm sure that it covers a lot of these topics because it has such a broad spectrum of speakers that are engaged in this event. So first tell us when and where it is, how people can connect with it, but I also am interested in knowing what's going to be taking place there.
Right. Well, first I want to say, addressing your question is about culture and places to put our experience. This gathering in Joshua Tree called Contact in the Desert that's happening next week is a place that people can come and do come to exchange experiences, these ideas, these possibilities to awaken aspects of human perception that is ignored by mainstream culture. And so if people want to share their experiences, this is a place where they will not be ridiculed, they'll be accepted, and we need more places like that. We need to find people to understand our inner realities and understand what's possible. So this will be an event in Joshua Tree, California. And usually we have like 3,000, maybe 4,000 people coming together to talk about these key elements. There'll be people, and one of the early leaders of this movement was a guy named Stephen Greer. And Stephen Greer held the first disclosure summit in Washington, D.C. in 2001, where he got pilots, Air Force pilots, and official witnesses to really share their experiences of seeing these things in the sky. So he'll be there presenting. He'll also do a sky watch where we go into a meditation at night, and you're under clear skies out there in the desert. So in this kind of deeper experience, you can actually call these beings in. This is called the Close Encounters of the C-SETI experience. And people I've seen things in the sky doing these experiences. So there's going to be about 40 different speakers. It's really what's been called the Woodstock of ufology. And let me see who else will be there. There's, you know, Linda Moulton Howe. She's a regular spokesperson on a show called Ancient Aliens. And she's one of the best researchers we have out there. Actually, one of the hosts of Ancient Aliens will be there, Giorgio Tsokalos. Eric Von Doniken will be there. Really the godfather, one of the originators of this idea that perhaps we've been visited by extraterrestrials. He wrote the book called, what is it called? Gods Among Us? No, it was called the... that first book in the 1960s, he opened the whole Chariot of the Gods. That's what he wrote. Chariot of the Gods was a breakthrough book, and it's actually, I'm just looking at his bio, it's now published in 38 different countries. And it said perhaps who we worship, who these gods of the ancients were not actually gods, but they were ancient astronauts that came to help evolve our civilization. So we, besides the sort of UFOs in the sky, there's also an archaeological component to this conference. People like Graham Hancock, who've investigated the pyramids, Robert Bavall, who noticed that the belt stars of Orion matched the three great pyramids located in Giza, on the Giza Plateau, and realized there was a relationship between those structures and the stars in the sky. Actually, temple, the word temple itself means reflection of the stars. So it's another reference towards the fact that this is not a new idea. This is something that's been with us, the idea that we have been visited, that we're a part of a greater reality, a greater cosmos, that we're actually part of something bigger than our own little planetary dramas, I think is a part of this expansion of human consciousness. Whitley Strieber will be there, who wrote probably one of the best books on interactions with what he calls the visitors. It's called Communion. It was a best-selling book in 1985. It broke ground. It actually gave an image. It was the first to depict these big-eyed, narrow-chin beings that everyone now identifies as ET or Greys. And he was really the first to come out and draw and create that on the cover of his book. So that was breakthrough. Another popular person, David Wilcox, who gets a lot of following, Michael Tellinger. Robert Schock, going back to the idea of ancient civilizations and its connection. Robert Schock was brought into this project called the Mystery of the Sphinx. He's a geologist, and the Sphinx was noticed to have water weathering that was not caused by the occasional rain in the desert. So Schock came in and proved, documented the fact that the Sphinx was caused by when there was more less desert and more of like a jungle atmosphere in that part of Eastern Africa, and then dated the Sphinx back to more than 10,000 years, and that was before what's called classical Egyptian civilization, and it has a reference to the constellation of Leo, so perhaps it was like signaling a visitation by star beings coming from that direction. That's one possibility. I can go on and on about each person here. Laura Eisenhower, who's the great-granddaughter of Dwight D. Eisenhower, has a lot of incredible radical things to say about standing up for consciousness. Another good friend of mine, we talked about J.J. and Desiree Hertog, who will bring in the spiritual component of E.T. visitations and who these beings are in terms of a higher consciousness, what they call ultra-terrestrials. Another really key person coming to the conference is a woman named Kathleen Martin, and she is the niece of Betty Hill. Betty Hill and Betty and Barney Hill were really the first people to come out and say they were abducted by aliens in 1961. They had an encounter in the hills of New Hampshire. And there's a book called Interrupted Journey about that. Well, Kathleen knows the inside story about that and the truth of that, and that the truth of the reality that that did happen, and she has a lot of the sort of artifacts from that experience and also firsthand knowledge. Actually, if people go to Lincoln, New Hampshire, there's a plaque on the side of the road saying this is the spot where Betty and Barney Hill were abducted by UFOs. It's actually an official sign posted by the state of New Hampshire. So that's a little just a little acknowledgement from the mainstream that perhaps this is going on. Jacques Vallée will be there. And if you noticed in Close Encounters, there was that filmmaker played he was French, but it was really Jacques Vallée that he was portraying in that Steven Spielberg movie, who had a lot of early theories about ETs and UFOs being part of a higher reality. He says there's a paranormal component. He was one of the first to say this is not just UFOs crap, nuts and bolts. There's a there's something else about it. There's something metaphysical, something about a non-ordinary reality involved in UFO sightings and UFO encounters. Something happens there. It's a dimensional possibility. Anyway, he is one of the elders of this movement, of this coming forward disclosure movement, and he'll make an appearance there, which is I think very rare and unusual. We also have like some more of the mainstream people. George Norrie, who I think has probably the most popular program on the radio about this coast to coast AM. So he every night he's talking about some aspects. I mean, there's other things he covers, of course. So this is really a coming together of some of the best researchers in the world presenting their evidence to people who are ready to hear this. this sort of stuff. And it's not just the same old stuff. These are researchers like Linda Moulton Howe and Richard Dolan evolving the evolutionary theory, the evolutionary idea of ETs, and modifying their ideas based on new evidence that perhaps maybe these are time travelers from the future. Maybe these are us. Maybe these are not what they thought we were at all. Maybe this is what Whitley Strieber's latest idea, and he wrote an article about this, about his new book called Supernatural. Perhaps what we call ETs and UFOs and all those things we label are really an aspect of something we can't understand, so we give them this label. Anyway, there's lots of discussion like that, and also experiencers, people who have experienced this phenomenon will come together. There'll be a chance to share them at the Cosmic Cafe. I'll be running a Cosmic Cafe where people will be able to talk about things they cannot talk about anywhere else. This is the value of these types of conferences. Chance for people to come together and share their experience. This is why I think building a culture, this is what we're doing with this program. What you're doing, Kathy, is building a culture of contact. This is very, very vital to who we are and the experiences that we're allowed into our mind, into our psyche.
Excellent. And that's Contact in the Desert, May 19th to 22nd in Joshua Tree, California. Mm-hmm. You can go and register and find out all about it at the website contactinthedesert.com. And yeah. I invite everyone to check that out because, you know, even just making this connection is an important one. I encourage people also to go to newrealities.com to connect with Alan's work because he has a whole spectrum of TV programs in this genre and many, many others with regard to the exploration of reality. We still have a few minutes, Alan, so I thought it would be interesting to talk about any personal experiences because I have had some personal experiences with contact, and so I was wondering if you had any personal experiences as well.
Well, I have, but I just want to say that I want to just thank you for doing this because the world is divided among ideologies, and I think there's people saying this is impossible, this can't happen, and there's other people out there, and this has to be a growing movement saying this not only is possible, it is happening. And I think the reason I'm so fascinated with this talks to your question is that, yes, growing up, I had some strange experiences on the South Shore of Long Island where I felt presences in the room, and the strangest one is like I was woken up in the middle of the night and by a sort of tickling sensation on the inside of my leg, and then it was given this little creature to hold that, well, if I did my research, it probably was some hybrid made from my genetics and alien genetics. I know that sounds really out there, but I was actually given something to hold to probably bond with this, although I thought the thing was really weird. I mean, it was a sort of dream state, but it's, you know, you usually forget your dreams. This is a dream I never forgot. But the only way I can relate to it is as a dream. I also had a mark on the back of my leg after traveling cross country. I think I talked about that last time. I've seen lights appear in the sky. I was in New Mexico, and there was this strange cloud that looked like a finger, and everyone said, look at that cloud, and it's like it was with three other people. I looked, and suddenly this light came on, and everyone looked except this one guy, and he slowly turned around. He saw it, and then it went out. So I've had lots of experiences. Some of it's in dream state. Some of it's been sightings. I'm curious about your experiences, Kathy. What happened to you? What do you remember?
I've had quite a few of these experiences. One, the major one, I would say, is that I, you know, in my apartment, I face in the distance Manhattan. But over in the far left, which I guess would be in downtown Manhattan, I was, for about a month, I was seeing these lights in the sky and this radiance in the sky. And I felt convinced that this was indeed a ship or a series of ships. And so,
seeing that like late at night, I was seeing stuff like that to the south too. These strange lights in the sky, like it was late at night, and I was looking south.
Yeah,
you
could only really see it. I only saw it primarily. I saw it in the dark, in the darkness of night. But also, it would become very visible if it were cloudy. So it would almost look like the sun were shining through the clouds, except the sun was in a different place, and it was. It wasn't necessarily the middle of the day, but after seeing this, I decided to just verbalize that I considered this to be star beings, and I was interested in learning more and meeting these beings. And so a few nights after that, I had an experience similar to what you had, in which I was gazing through the window, but rather than being the sky, my perception was one of being in space, and I could actually see the physical makeup of the ship. And then part of what I had verbalized that I wanted to do was to understand my celestial heritage. If I were, if I had some DNA connected to these beings, if I had some perhaps past life, future life, kind of alternate life connected to these beings. And so what happened is a series of smaller craft came up to me, and the beings inside, one by one, introduced themselves to me. And so some of these...
This was in a dream state or just a non-dream state?
No, I would say it was an out-of-body state. I was, I would say it was out-of-body. It wasn't dream space. It was very, very tangible, very tactile and real. And so in some of these beings, I wasn't able to see their makeup, but some of them I could see directly their faces and their expressions. And after this series of craft came and were talking to me, in the final one, there was a woman there, and she actually handed something to me. And when I took it, I could feel it. It was like hot. So that I couldn't really touch it, so I had to like put it down and I put it to the side, and so I had this whole experience. And then
what did it look like that she gave you?
It looked like an official document. I didn't really when you're in out of body, you can't really always read things or do things in a tangible way, but I could see it. Perhaps if I went into hypnosis, I would be able to know what it was. But I took it and put it to the side, and then, the whole thing kind of faded. But the next day, that woman that I saw in that spacecraft passed me on the street.
Did you say something to her? Did you say...
No, I acknowledged her eye to eye. She acknowledged me, and then, but it was a quick reference, and then I turned around and I didn't see her. So I don't really know what that was, but I was in my waking consciousness walking on the sidewalk, and I saw this person pass by me, this terrestrial being. But it was a human being. It was a person like any other person on the planet. So to me, that was a very tangible experience. But I've also had sort of a telepathic connection. After that, I started having telepathic connections, and I was working on doing some healing because I do energetic healing, and often I'm called to even do it on myself, and I sort of ask for help to get through some certain kinds of intangible or really thick densities in the healing process. And I connected with a being that was actually on the ship that had healing chambers. And so I at one point woke into that experience of having been in a healing chamber, coming out of a healing chamber, and recognizing my physical body as being very different. I was the same essential person, but I was just, more perfected, in a more perfected state. And being shocked about that. And then, in another time, I got a meditation. I actually got a transmission of a meditation for people to use who want to have the effect of having been in a healing chamber.
Wow, that's fantastic. No wonder you're so open to this, because I think this is the benefit, exactly what you said, is the benefits of awakening to these other realities, just to show that we have these sorts of interactions as possibilities, and to trust that what happened to you is reality. You're not making this up, because you're a pretty functional, sane person, and you exist. In a world just like everyone else, but yet there's this greater facility of the mind to expand into these other realities and possibilities, and this is where we need to go to as a civilization. I mean, this kind of open acknowledgement of experience will shift us out of this warlike mentality and embrace each other as greater beings with a greater spiritual capacity.
So, beautiful. And that's really a good place for us, because we're just about out of time. I really wanted to thank you. I so enjoyed talking to you and hope we can do it again. I just want to remind people that the event is Contact in the Desert, May 19th to 22nd in Joshua Tree, California. Go to the website contactinthedesert.com. You can find more about Alan Steinfeld at newrealities.com. You'll find all of these links on the PRN.fm website at the Heart of Mind archive page. This will go up in a bit after the show broadcast, and you can check that out. And I also invite
also
you
my
to
YouTube,
join me.
My YouTube channel, YouTube.com/newrealities. I have interviews. A lot of people have had some of these higher experiences and just basic UFO researchers. So my YouTube channel, put that up there as a link too.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll send in that correction. And I also want to invite people. I have an ongoing Qigong class, movement and meditation, for healing and transformation every Saturday in Brooklyn at Maya Studio from 2:30 to 4 p.m. You can go send an email is the best way, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, if you want any of those details. I want to thank you, Alan, and thank all of our listeners, and invite everyone to stay tuned for more programming over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.fm. This has been Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis. Stay tuned.